It's a fresh new week, everybody. Happy Monday.
Pew, pew.
The Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.
It's so hard.
Isn't that the hardest part, just getting through the weekend?
The hardest part is coming back.
But here you are. You did it.
I know. It's the Lord's work just for you.
Congratulations.
And you and you and you over there in the corner, you weirdo.
I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
Oh. Wow. Way to start a Monday.
I mean,
corner happening.
Is there a better way?
You know, there is. Maybe it's not the better way, but it's our way.
It's our way.
And that's to talk about what happened with Britney Spears over the weekend. Big updates. Right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh yeah, let's get the Cobra Gang together.
Whenever there's trouble, we'll throw the double. We're the Cobra Gang. If you've got the crime, we've got the time. We're the Cobra Gang.
We have to get the Cobra Gang together when we talk about Britney because it's so toxic up in here, at least between the warring parties of the conservatorship to end all conservatorships. Wouldn't that be nice if
I
we
wish
never
this
needed
conservatorship
another one?
Did end all conservatorships.
Well, it might just end this one, which we're patiently
or at least the
all...
ones that are not necessary. I just want to say that before we get emails.
Indeed. Thank you for clarifying with the asterisk. Mm-hmm. We are waiting, hoping that the end is nigh for one conservatorship of Britney Spears. We're not going to know this until, of course, the 12th of November at the earliest. However, what we do know now is that, here's what I want you to know.
Okay.
We now know why Jamie wanted the conservatorship to end abruptly versus him just getting the boot. Britney's attorney is about to haul him and his cronies into a deposition. Also, there's a dog update, which we'll get to. But let's start with...
We call that a pup date.
That was a good one.
Thanks.
But let's start with the conservatorship change of plans, as indicated by one Jamie Spears. So Britney's father, Jamie, originally was like, there's nothing to see here. No need to end this conservatorship. I'm making millions. I mean, Britney's very successful.
It's been all very successful because of me.
So,
and then 5 minutes later.
So then Jamie Spears says, okay, sure. You know, someday I will not be in this conservatorship anymore. You know, she can have somebody else. It's fine. But we got to do some stuff first and make sure that we jump through some hoops. Actually, let's just get rid of the whole thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very abrupt about face. Mm-hmm. And it is that abrupt about face that made us all raise an eyebrow or wrinkle a furrowed brow or eyebrow or something. You know, it doesn't matter. It made us go, what?
Yeah.
Because this seems to be a competition of intentions, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is he advocating for all these different things? We now know why, as I just said. And the reason specifically is that Britney's lawyer, Matthew Rosengart, apparently will, according to a source that's speaking directly to the dailymail.com, and I don't put it past the Daily Mail to have an actual source. I don't feel like they're Hollywood Life with Bonnie Fuller just making stuff up in the snack room, you know, with Beverly over at Hollywood Life. They have a source that says Matthew Rosengart will soon be requesting subpoenas and interviews with Jamie Spears and Robin Greenhill under oath. Now, why is that significant?
Well, because
I ask you, Colleen,
we have a lot of reason to believe that they were up to some chicanery that was no good when they were in charge of the conservatorship, including but not limited to allegations that are more than just butter and oil, that they were bugging her bedroom, etc. And so the fact that they're turning an eye to them and going to pull them in to make them accountable for some stuff would explain actually two things, I think. One of them, why first Jamie was dragging his feet, and secondly, then why he made that quick about face. Because I think at first he was like, oh no, we can't do this quickly. We have things that we need to move around, AKA some stuff we need to cover up.
Yeah.
But then when it became abundantly clear that you weren't going to get that time to cover it up, he was like, pull the plug.
Yeah, because by pulling the plug, that you don't have the resources. Matthew Rosengart doesn't have the, there is no need for Matthew Rosengart as Brittany's the attorney representing her in this conservatorship, mm-hmm. right? Like, that all becomes moot. And
right.
it's not that he could never be investigated, but one imagines that he, through an attorney, saw the writing on the wall. It's going to be a lot easier for people to come after him in his role as a conservator and, you know, dig into all the things that he was able to do under the auspices of that conservatorship, because once the conservatorship goes away, it's a harder case to make to a court that, you know, we need to look into the behavior of something that doesn't exist anymore. Like, right. well, okay, great. Unless he broke the law, which then, you know, prosecutors could come after him for. I think he's more concerned about civil liability in this particular case. That is, allegations that are being brought or could be brought by Brittany's attorney, mm-hmm. Matthew Rosengart. So absolutely 100% that explains why Jamie abruptly tried first to get rid of himself, but then to get rid of the conservatorship writ large. And I don't imagine he's probably going to be that successful. Ultimately, we'll see what will happen come November 12th, because it's very possible on November 12th that the judge in the case says this conservatorship is done. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what the, I guess there is still a reason for Matthew Rosengart to dig into Jamie Spears's behavior in a perhaps opportunity to get some money back.
It might not be related to the conservatorship. It could be related to mismanagement of funds, or, you know what I mean? Like, there could be something that he has stumbled over in his time with Brittany that will still allow him to hold Jamie accountable and Robin Greenhill accountable for some of the actions they took while the conservatorship was in place.
And not just Robin Greenhill. Remember, we've also got Lou Taylor. So yeah. for those who maybe haven't been following, you've got Lou Taylor running this thing called TriStar Entertainment and Sports Business.
Sports Entertainment.
Yeah.
Sports they do, and entertainment?
They just represent famous people mm-hmm. and get big checks in return for doing, we're not quite sure what amounts to $500,000 worth of work in the case of Britney Spears specifically. But she was working hand in glove. That is, Lou Taylor's TriStar was working hand in glove with Jamie Spears, father conservator of Britney Spears, mm-hmm. at a time when some questionable things were happening, as raised by the multiple documentaries we've now seen. So I would say it's not just Jamie Spears. It's not just Robin Greenhill, who worked for Lou Taylor as sort of Britney's minder. Mm-hmm. She was like her Scientology sponsor, if you will, to mm-hmm. borrow a concept from another cult. I think there's a lot of mismanagement that people should be looking at. And I hope, beyond just Matthew Rosengart, other people will be looking into this, because not just because of Britney, because Britney's going to be fine, but what it represents in terms of the institution of the conservatorship for all of those people who don't have multi-million dollar attorneys seeking out justice on their behalf.
Right, right. I mean, you know, if nothing else, it hopefully will help sort of rewrite some of the rules around how conservatorships like this one are started mm-hmm. and what the protocol is to evaluate them. Because yeah. I don't think it takes any kind of rocket scientist to see that a lot of stuff went awry in the midst of all of this. A lot. Mm-hmm. You don't have a series of documentaries about nothing. You can write that down. Yeah, put that in a quote.
That
book.
Is a that t-shirt is, you should put in your t-shirt club.
Thank you.
BrazenGinger.com.
Thank you.
We also need to talk about Sam Asghari getting a dog to protect Britney Spears because, OMG. Of course, this grown-ass woman can't protect herself without a Doberman Pinscher. Okay.
Okay.
Can we talk?
Jeez.
I think we need to.
So I saw this story over the weekend. I was like, of course, because Britney lives in this fairy tale Stepford wife America with her boyfriend, where she's just a pretty lady who twirls in her lobby making fun videos on Instagram that the rest of us are like, what? With her very, very Prince Charming boyfriend, fiance, mm-hmm. who is going to save her from the evil troll known as Jamie Spears.
I'm like,
this is a narrative
I'm actually
that exists.
Sad about this.
Well, you should be.
Yeah.
And especially, I mean, maybe not so much for Britney Spears, but just because, like, this is just, it's so obvious that this is all just lies. Now, here's the story. Britney's fiance, Sam Asghari, mm-hmm. surprised her with a dog.
First of all, don't do that.
You shouldn't surprise anybody with an animal because animals are sentient beings. Mm-hmm. Actually, I don't know where they considered sentient. I don't know what that word means other than like they're things, right? Like they have feelings, right?
Right.
Like
I think that's what that means.
That's what I thought. But then for a minute, I was like, I don't know what their brain, their IQ is. And does that matter? Anyway,
they perceive and respond to sensations.
There you go.
Thank you, Dr. Googles.
Thank you.
I am glad to know that dogs are sentient because I treat them like people.
Yeah.
Because in most cases, they're better than people. My own commentary. Okay. Gets her a dog, surprises her with the dog.
Bad idea, but yes.
Bad idea. Don't do that. Also, the messaging around it. So he writes on Instagram, surprise my fiance with our newest member to the family. He revealed that the puppy's name is Portia.
Like DeRossi?
I think like
the car,
the vehicle, probably because he kind of likes labels.
But it's spelled P-O-R-S-H-A. Okay.
I know. But anyway,
he's really into Shakespeare.
But okay. Regardless, in a hashtag, he suggested the dog would be used as, quote, home security.
Okay.
So her name is Portia. She's meant to unconditionally love you. And it's gonna be trained to protect you from any mother bleeper that comes around you with bad intentions. He is like riding this narrative mm-hmm. that his little lioness needs to be protected from the big bad world around her by not only him and his strong shirtless muscles.
Right, but when he can't be there because he's busy with his own career.
Yeah.
The big bad Doberman Pinscher is gonna, I got a lot of questions.
It's just, it's, you know, you use the word sad, I think, and it's sad because it's just so lazy. Mm-hmm. So, and look, I don't doubt that there are people who operate this way. So this seems like, I don't feel like he's creating a false narrative to like please his weird misreading of the world on social media. I think this is really just like who they are, and that's fine. But like, we're talking about Britney Spears, and she doesn't need a dog, much less you, Sam Asghari.
Well, she doesn't need a dog because remember what happened to the last one.
Well, that is also a very important message that should be delivered from our friends at PETA and the Humane Society.
For those of you who don't recall, there was a fracas between an employee of the Britney Spears estate and Britney about her dog, and they took the dog to the vet and then didn't bring the dog back.
Well, the fracas was that she was mistreating the dog and not following what was right. laid out by the vet to the way the dog apparently had some food issues and was having upset tummy. She was feeding it people food. And mm-hmm. it so essentially harming the dog, right?
Right.
The dog wasn't getting the best care possible. And so they were like, hey, assistant to Britney, why don't you take care of the dog? Well, nobody told Britney that. So she thought her dad stole the dog. So it just turned into this like nightmare meltdown. And it's like, I think the lesson we're all learning here is Britney needs some time for her.
Yeah.
She doesn't need a new husband. She doesn't need a new dog.
Puppy.
She needs some alone time with some good therapy, mm-hmm. you know, a few solo trips to Hawaii and to like, find herself, maybe a couple of self-help books,
the opportunity to experience a world where she's not having to ask to get a Starbucks, right? Yeah. Like that's
let's start there and then in 6 months we'll
maybe
reevaluate.
We can talk about the puppy, fine,
but the problem is it's not gonna work like that. But anyway, it's just kind of like,
you guys
just don't do that.
Stay with us. We've got Britney's best interest at heart. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show,
to be her conservator. No, we don't want
to. No, we don't want to do that. But what we do want to do is get the all the dirt straight from Hollywood. Elizabeth Reese is bringing us a dirt alert after this on My Talk 107.1.
This is a My Talk dirt alert.
Elizabeth Reese is here, and she's brought all of the dirt straight from Hollywood. It's a dirt alert. Hey, Elizabeth.
Hi. Hello. Happy Monday, friends.
And to you as well.
It's good to hear your voice this beautiful Monday.
Oh, gosh. I feel the same way about your voices.
Thank
and
you.
It's just a cool, crisp, nice fall day.
I love it so much.
Beautiful here and also beautiful in Paris. That's where Sarah Jessica Parker and Chris Noth are spotted filming. Mm. And just like that. So they're on that famous bridge where everybody does the padlocks.
Yes.
You know, you lock, you put the padlock on the bridge and then you throw the keys into the river as a symbol of your love.
Get enough of those padlocks, that thing's going to fall.
I know. I think they do clear them out. They come in with a lock cutter and then cut them out and then
so your love gets cut.
Yeah, but it's about the symbol. Mm-hmm. But like, they're spotted right on the bridge. We don't know what the scene was about, of course, but that's where they are. I don't know.
Lucky them.
I know. It'll be really interesting.
When does that show come out?
December.
Oh, okay.
On HBO Max.
Was this before or after she changed her hair color?
Oh, her hair color looks blonde.
That was a whole blind item that we...
There's a blind item that she was not happy with the way her hair color made her look, that it kind of made her look grayer than she wanted. So she was going to have to make them go back and post... Or no, she was going to make them actually reshoot the whole dumb thing with new hair.
Really?
And we were like, that's a post-production experience, honey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is tricky with blondes, though. You got to be a little, you know... Mm-hmm. People aren't always happy with their blonde. They don't like it if it's too yellow. They don't like it if it's too white. I don't know what they want.
Also, I feel like, though, if you're doing a project and you're an actor, you just deal with whatever color is showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't get to change that until the project is done.
Yeah, that's probably how it goes. Yeah,
she's the boss.
Mm-hmm. She is the boss.
She's a boss lady.
I thought Tony Danza was.
He was. He's who's the boss.
Oh, yeah. Angela. Sorry.
Angela.
That's Moner. Good. How interesting is this? So Meghan King, who was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, who was married to Jim Edmonds, the baseball player. Remember, they got divorced. Really nasty divorce. She just got married married President Biden's nephew.
Oh, get out.
And so their wedding over the weekend had the president and the first lady in attendance because that's their nephew.
That's kind of awesome.
Wild.
Right?
It'd be kind of fun to have all that pomp and circumstance at your wedding.
It was a small family wedding, I guess. And it was at this guy, his name is Cuff Owens, and it was at his parents' home in Pennsylvania. C-U-F-F-E.
Huh.
I don't know if that's how you say it. C-U-F-F-E.
Cuff Biden Owens.
Oh,
yeah, there you go.
Interesting.
So they went to the wedding. Yeah, he's a Los Angeles-based attorney, and he's the son of the president's sister and close advisor, Valerie Owens, and her husband, Jack. But
unless it's like Cuffy.
Oh, yeah, and she was on Real Housewives of Orange County. Sorry, you guys, I said Beverly Hills. That was my mistake. Mm.
Maybe it's Cuffé.
Yeah, I hope it's not Cuffé.
It could be. She and Jim Edmonds share three children together, 4.5, and then their twins, Hart and Hayes, who are 3. She finalized her divorce from Jim Edmonds and then was in a relationship with a guy I know from college.
Stop it.
Random.
Christian Schauff, yeah, who lives in Utah.
Can I just say this, though? I am, kudos to her. I just almost unraveled at the idea of having 3-year-old twins and... dating life.
And she was doing that actively, and she has a very contentious relationship with her ex. Remember, Jim Edmonds
sounds like so much work.
He is in a relationship, I don't know if he married her, but with the woman that they had a threesome with.
Okay
Alrighty.
All right, that is a lot. That's a lot to hold on.
It's
to
just like too much drama.
I hope that she has a fantastic therapist.
I don't know, but
a
this
threesome,
guy,
do it with a stranger. You don't need to, any of that baggage.
Yeah, the Bidens have good-looking people in their family, though.
They do. He's handsome.
Cuff is very handsome, and he's got very long hair, which is like not usually my jam, and he looks great.
Yeah, he's a handsome guy.
Super sexy guy.
And you're going to get a chance to go to the White House. Hello.
You can probably just go. Hey, do you want to go see my Uncle Joe? You want to go to my Uncle Joe's house? It's white. It's the white. Hey, take a left at the white one right there. Tiger Woods spotted walking on a golf course. No limp in sight. What do you think about that? He was watching his son play in a junior tournament, so don't get too excited to think that he was playing. But he is still wearing a sleeve on his surgically repaired right leg, is what a witness told TMZ. He alternated between walking holes and riding around in a golf cart, and he was talking to fans throughout the tournament, thanking them for encouraging words while he was following his son.
Oh, also, that's rough on his... I'm sorry. I'm just thinking about his son, who's busy just trying to play golf.
And I know,
but dad is Tiger Woods.
Everybody's looking at him,
but it's like, yeah, that's probably true. But he's probably like, this is the way that it goes. And you have to decide. You're either going to embrace that and play golf, or you're going to say, I'm not going to be a golfer like my dad. I'm going to do something different.
Now we all know how Liza feels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the truth. But this is the first time since his February 2021 accident that he's been seen without any sort of walking aid, seen publicly, you know. I mean, every time everybody's right. seen him, he's had some sort of aid.
I mean, if anybody's going to recover from something like this, and it's going to be Tiger because, true. You know, in addition to just being Tiger Woods, he also has an incredible amount of resources to help him get back to where he was.
You almost kind of wonder what is the thing with Tiger with, like, the overcoming the extreme challenge. Like, I wonder, let's go real intense.
Oh, we don't
But
have
I
time.
Feel like some people sometimes, like, are you manifesting these challenges right. in order to overcome them? Because that is where you feel the most accomplished. You guys just marinate on that for the rest
you know
of the
what?
Afternoon.
That was a mic drop moment. Elizabeth Reese, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a great day. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show, we are going to solve some pop culture mysteries in the form of blind items. Holly will launch them at us. We'll try to solve them in a little segment we call Blinded by the Item after this on My Talk 107.1. We've got some pop culture mysteries we're going to solve right here, right now on the Colleen and Bradley Show. My Talk 107.1. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Trainer.
Hello.
And we're going to do that in the form of blind items. Holly brings them to us. We try to solve them in this little segment. We call it Blinded by the Item.
Blinded by the Item.
We try to varying degrees of success.
Let's just get right to the hot gossip.
Let's do it.
Here's our first celebrity gossip mystery. We always knew about the one secret child. But apparently, there are two secret children.
Dun, dun, dun.
The most recent one was discovered this week when she went to go take the written test to get a learner's permit for driving.
No way.
Whoa. That's old.
Yeah, that illiterate permanent A-list singer is so good at hiding things.
Oh, wait. That was a plot twist. Because
yeah,
I thought we were talking about Sam Asghari.
That way. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So I don't know who has a secret child other than Sam Asghari, mm-hmm. Britney's paramour and fiance, because that's a rumor we've read on this very segment.
So we're looking for A-plus list illiterate singer.
An illiterate permanent A-list singer.
A permanent A-list singer.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Who's going to get Priscilla Presley?
No.
Oh, well, that's a good guess.
Okay, but
not A-list singer.
Yeah,
no.
a lot of it was wrong.
Talk about this person's secret child has happened in the past.
Oh, Janet Jackson.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Yes. So, filling in the blank, we've always known about the one secret child of Janet Jackson, but apparently there are two secret children. The most recent one was discovered this week when she went to go take a written test to get a learner's permit for driving.
By the way, do not even get me started about how much work that is. Don't even get me started.
No. NT Lawyer says that Janet Jackson is so good at hiding things.
Interesting. Interesting.
Hmm.
Okay, I want to know more now. But see, here's the other thing is that we're going to learn some stuff in her documentary that
probably not her secret child, though.
I don't know. From everything we've heard, this documentary is going to go some places.
Oh, all right. Well,
like we're going to actually learn some stuff. I don't know. I'm interested.
Blinded by the item.
A confirmed blind item to follow that one up. Every time he would walk off stage at a show this weekend, earlier in September, this foreign-born A-list singer would take a bump of coke. He says it's to keep the energy going.
Mm-mm.
Is that like a Harry Styles? Oh! Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so NT Lawyer says every time Harry Styles would walk off stage at a show, he would take a little bump of coke because it's, you know, to keep the energy going.
Alrighty.
I mean, hey, remember the original Coca-Cola beverage?
Right, had the cocaine in it.
I love how you made the jump from like the 1890s to Harry Styles snorting lines off of some backup singer's keister.
Well, energy boosting. Energy boosting.
Yes.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
That's, listen, there are many methods to boost your energy.
Yeah.
The one that I would go for is like a shot of espresso.
Yeah, not Coke.
Another celebrity gossip mystery to solve. After chipping and breaking so many teeth doing his own stunts, this A-list mostly movie actor just has dentures that he takes out each night.
Tom Cruise. Well, that would explain the weird face.
I was going to say, anything else about the face in that blind item?
Not just the chompers.
Okay.
So, After chipping and breaking so many teeth doing his own stunts, Tom Cruise just has dentures that he takes out each night.
Well, you remember that that's always been a thing with Tom Cruise, is his teeth. And there was a very specific point in his career when his teeth miraculously changed.
Yeah.
So if you go back and look at like old Tom Cruise photos, you'll see some interesting teeth.
Yeah, like when he did Risky Business. He had his old teeth.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like Ben Affleck had old teeth.
Yeah.
Then he miraculously got new teeth.
The chiclets.
Yeah. But fascinating about Tom Cruise, obviously very aware that he doesn't want his teeth to look too fake. Because when you look at these photographs of Tom Cruise at a baseball game over the weekend, they look very natural.
Yeah. They actually do. I noticed that when I was looking at the pictures.
I mean, unlike the rest of him.
Exactly.
Which, look at the pictures.
Attention to detail.
Yeah, he just does not look the same.
And by the way, I was wrong. I think he did have his new teeth in Risky Business, but he had his old teeth in like The Outsiders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Blinded by the item.
Here's another celebrity gossip mystery. The cast and crew have been annoyed this past week that it takes oftentimes as long as 2 hours for this illiterate reality star to get out of the makeup and clothes she wore solely to get photographed in on the way to the set and then get into makeup and clothing for rehearsals.
Kim Kardashian.
Which does Saturday not surprise Night Live. At all. Oh, yeah. My goodness gracious.
So the cast and crew of Saturday Night Live were annoyed this past week that it takes as often as 2 hours for Kim Kardashian to get out of the makeup and clothes she wore solely to get photographed on the way to the set and then get into makeup and clothing for rehearsals.
And then there was the after party. Also, I don't understand the gloves thing.
Okay, so she is clearly rolling out a new fashion situation that is very bodysuit and glove forward.
She just wants to cover up as much as humanly possible.
Yeah,
well, it's all very that Balenciaga stuff.
It's so...
Yeah, and then I was like, man... As a person who likes to wear jumpsuits and then, you know, the logistical situations and then you add in the
there
gloves.
Was nothing logistical about the outfit that she wore, at least during the monologue on Saturday Night Live, because it's just like a one giant. It looks like she went to, I can't even remember the name of that fabric store, but went to the fabric store. I mean, Joanne Fabrics would be a good second guess, although I don't feel like Kim Kardashian goes to a lot of Joanne Fabrics. And just like took a big bolt and sewed, you know, just a big giant one piece bodysuit because I don't even think those are gloves. I think that's all one
part
piece.
Of it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you look at the shoe part too, and the shoe part is all part of the outfit.
Yeah. It's just a lot. It's a lot. And this, we,
a lot of fabric.
This is all you see her in lately though, right? Like this and trench coats, which good, fine. So, it's great.
Just seems very warm.
It's a lot.
Yeah. I have questions. Oh, but I do have celebrity gossip mysteries. Another one. Solve this, Colleen and Bradley. Changing the title doesn't change the fact that the book written by a sibling of the singer in quotation marks still exploits the singer and the ghostwriter was paid for by the singer, but all the advance and profits go to the sibling.
Jamie Lynn Spears.
What was the name again? You shared that with us in the Dirt Alert update.
Well, the new title of Jamie Lynn Spears' memoir is called Things I Should Have Said. It was going to be called I Must Confess.
Like ripping off her sister.
Her own sister.
Like maybe you don't give people more of a reason to see that you've been ripping off your sister for years.
Yeah. So changing the title doesn't change the fact that the book written by Jamie Lynn Spears, sister of Britney Spears, still exploits Britney Spears, and the ghostwriter for this book was paid for by Britney Spears.
As was probably most of Jamie Lynn Spears' life.
Thank you. Like all of her homes, cars, and vacations.
Yeah, but funny enough, the advance and profits go to Jamie Lynn.
Yeah.
Look at that.
What do you know?
That's gross. You got a little one?
Okay.
A little nibble?
Oh, no, not
that. Dang, okay.
I have nibbles, and I have more celebrity gossip mysteries for you to solve. Let's see here.
Just reading the fine print.
Uh-huh. This foreign-born A-minus list, mostly movie actress who got her start as a lead in this massive space franchise was almost fired the first week because her acting was so bad.
Ooh. Massive space franchise.
Yeah.
And give me the stats again. She's foreign-born?
Foreign-born A-minus list, mostly movie actress who got her start as a lead in this massive space franchise was almost fired the first week because her acting was so bad. Now, this is kind of a little old. Now, I don't know if her acting was bad in a new project or in the space franchise.
How old is the space franchise? I mean, are we talking Star Wars here?
Yeah, we are.
Are we talking recent Star Wars or old Star Wars?
Yeah, more recent.
Oh, it's middle in the franchise. Are we in the middle of the franchise, which is really the beginning?
Hmm? Not the prequels, no.
Not Queen Amidala.
No, not Natalie Portman.
No, okay. We're going with Daisy Ridley.
Yeah.
Okay, Ray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ray. So apparently Daisy Ridley was almost fired the first week because her acting was so bad.
Ooh.
On Star Wars. I'm not clear if it was Star Wars or maybe a new movie she's doing. NT Lawyer wasn't particularly clear on this, but
I was gonna say kind of a weird thing to like catch us up on something that's a few years
right?
old.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like it's got to be something recent where they were like, oh, you're not that good. Not gonna do it.
Not gonna do it.
Not gonna do it.
Holly, thank you for those lovely blind items.
Yeah, okay.
When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show, a comprehensive review of Kim Kardashian's turn on ye olde Saturday Night Live. Bradley, I know you watched some highlights.
Fabulous.
I watched the whole thing cover to cover. Sorry about it. We'll tell you what we actually thought after this on My Talk 107.1. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Trainer.
Hello.
Hi. And Saturday was a big day for Kim Kardashian.
Oh, yes.
And actually the whole Kardashian family, because Kim Kardashian was the second host of the new season of Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
Watched it.
Yeah.
Bradley, I know that you don't usually watch Saturday Night Live.
No, it's true, but I took one for the team.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
You also put your eyeballs on it.
Yep.
And I will ask ye your thoughts.
Ye? Well, is he going to be on the show?
No, he's not going to be here, but he was apparently there when she did Saturday Night Live.
So you want to know what I think?
Yeah. What'd you think?
Two things. One, Kim Kardashian didn't do badly, poorly. She was not bad. But what she did do was show that she has the ability to act in front of a camera and to read lines. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll start with her monologue and say that her monologue, if you watch Saturday Night Live as she delivered it, it was clear that somebody else wrote that monologue. Her timing is not like super great in delivering jokes. Like it was just clear, right?
Mm-hmm.
That she was reading something that was prepared for her. But that said, like, she didn't do miserably. She didn't flub. She didn't have issue with or an issue like delivering the lines,
mm-hmm.
but maybe they just weren't delivered in the best way, which is kind of delightfully Kim Kardashian. Like, the thing you realize about Kim Kardashian when you watch her on Saturday Night Live is that she is so comfortable in front of a camera. So terribly, terribly comfortable. And it's obvious.
Right.
She's grown up under the eyes of a camera.
Right.
So she understands how to deliver lines, you know, seamlessly or fluidly. That doesn't mean that there's much behind them.
Right.
But she's still able to execute in a way that should not be taken away from her. Like, she has a talent.
Right.
That said, her talent is not comedy.
It's not necessarily transferable to Saturday Night Live. The other thing for me is that I realized, well, first of all, it makes you appreciate what actors are able to do. And what the comics who do Saturday Night Live are able to do,
mm-hmm.
when they literally inhabit other characters,
yeah.
and care no longer about what they look like in front of the camera. I never got the feeling that Kim Kardashian ever stopped worrying about what she was looking like in front of the camera.
Also, Kim Kardashian never stopped being Kim Kardashian in front
right.
of the camera. There was one small moment when she was playing 80 Bryant. They did this sort of like Freaky Friday mm-hmm. sketch where they swap roles. Kim plays 80, 80 plays Kim, and then they sort of like live their own lives for a day, and then 80 like takes over and doesn't want to give the life back because obviously being Kim Kardashian would be fabulous, right? Don't even get me started on why that's problematic. But anyway, the moral of the story is like there was a brief moment where she inhabited 80 Bryant. It wasn't 80 Bryant that she was inhabiting. It was like something else that wasn't Kim Kardashian. So there was like this brief flash of a moment wherein she was not playing Kim Kardashian, but that fell away very quickly in the sketch. And she just becomes Kim Kardashian in a wig.
Right.
Trying to not be Kim Kardashian, but still totally being Kardashian. That sounds very meta, but I promise you when you watch it, you're like, oh, this has potential. Oh, no, it doesn't. 80 Bryant is actually really good as Kim Kardashian.
So I had told my husband, because he was like, oh, tell me about it. And I was like, he asked specifically, were there any digital sketches that were worth anything? Because usually the digital sketches, they put a little more time and energy and effort into. They're edited. Usually they're pretty funny. There were two. That was one of them. And the other one was sort of like this, like, group of women going out to the club, and they hadn't been out, like, they were old.
Like a music video kind of thing,
And that one I thought was actually funny, because there was some, like, hilarious relatability to it.
Yeah, sure.
So I said, there's one that was actually funny, and then one that should have been funny that wasn't funny. And it was that one where she was playing 80 Bryant, because she couldn't take herself out of Kim Kardashian. She, even her 80 Bryant wasn't trying, it was like almost like somebody was like, okay, well, we can see that you're not able to actually play 80 Bryant, so just play a really plain person.
Yeah.
And that was what she did.
Yeah.
Let's listen to just a little bit of her monologue so you can hear how she delivered her monologue. And she, you know, listen, to your point, somebody else wrote it and she said the words, but she also clearly consented to completely go there.
Oh, and you know that the entire family had to write off on all these jokes.
Absolutely.
Because they were some doozies.
Yeah, here we go.
I'm Kim Kardashian West, and it's so great to be here tonight. I know, I'm surprised to see me here too. When they asked, I was like, you want me to host? Why? I haven't had a movie premiere in a really long time. I mean, actually, I only had that one movie come out, and no one told me it was even premiering. It must have slipped my mom's mind. I'm excited to be here tonight to show you guys that I'm so much more than just a pretty face. And good hair, and great makeup, and amazing boobs, and a perfect butt. Basically, I'm just so much more than that reference photo my sister showed their plastic surgeons. But the one thing I'm really proud of is that no one could ever call me a gold digger. Honestly, I'm not even sure how you become one. So I asked my mom's boyfriend, Corey.
So, like, she got everybody. She got Kanye. She did a whole thing on Kanye. And it all was fine. Right?
Yeah.
Fine.
I just have so many questions. Like, I'm like, so somebody clearly said we're going to do a roast of your family because that would be funny. But then I'm like, so like, why? I think it's probably because there is such disdain for the Kardashians. I almost said disgust, but that's not the right word. And it's not hatred because but people have a strong dislike of this entire family, but it is married with a strong fascination.
Right.
So you can't just write them off. And so I imagine they were like, well, you know, because Saturday Night Live is like, we're cerebral. We think about our jokes. You know, we try to be funny and edgy and, you know, hip. And so you can't just come at the Kardashians in the normal comedic way. You have to like, they're like, we have to, we know people hate this family. So we have to like have her hate on the family. Like there was something like that.
Right.
And I was like, did Michael Che or Colin Jost write this monologue? Because it's very much delivered in that sort of like roasty Bernie experience. But then I was like, but that's not like Kim's vibe. Like she's not a roasty person.
No.
So I didn't understand why she was doing the roasty monologue.
I really do. I think you hit the nail on the head though, right off the cuff, which is that people, they had to appeal to the fact that people were wondering why the heck she was there in the first place. And those same people who are asking why the heck she's there in the first place have like a hatred slash fascination with their whole entire family.
They wrote it for Deborah Messing.
Thank you. It was for Deborah Messing, who said, why?
Why?
Why? Why was Kim Kardashian selected to be on Saturday Night Live?
I don't
Live?
Know that they ever answered that question.
I don't know that they did either. And I would say I don't need to see it again.
Yeah.
Ever.
I bet you're far more, as someone who watches the show, you're far more excited about other actual
I want
guests.
Other guests. Yeah. I want actual actors. They do a better job. They just do.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. I am an actor.
She didn't kill it, although TMZ said she did, which tells you that Kris Jenner released that to TMZ.
So obvious.
When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, what failed product should go in the Museum of Failure? It's a real thing. We'll tell you about it after this on My Talk 107.1.